welcome to Table Talk Game Talk On Topic, a show where we talk about tabletop gaming topics of all kinds. I'm one of your hosts, Fletcher.
I'm Kitty.
And I'm Chris.
Today we're talking about role-playing games in the media and media based on role-playing games. From actual plays to Stranger Things, how has this changed what people think of role-playing games and how many people are playing them?
But first, as always, a thank you to our Patreon friends of the show, Adam Harrison, the SGC, and Thomas Acciaretti. And a huge thank you to all our other patrons as well. Farewell, George.
He's not dead.
He's not dead. George is no longer a friend of the show because we had a falling out the other day over drinks. Actually, that's not true at all. But he has supported us for about almost 2 years now. So anytime we lose a friend of the show, they're really a perma-friend, I think. All friends of the show are perma-friends. But it's noticeable because our intros change, like are literally changed.
It feels like we lost something. Yeah. There's like a moment of silence there as we try to remember what we're supposed to read.
It's an empty space in my heart. But he left as Steamed Dumpling, which made me, for a moment, I'm like, wait a minute, who is that? And then, yeah,
he changed his name to Steamed Dumpling a while back.
Because he wanted us to say thank you to Steamed Dumpling and Adam Harris. But I'm like, I can't do that, George. I can't do that. But now that he's gone, I will at least give him one shout out as a Steamed Dumpling. All right. Also, this is our third episode in a row where I haven't had an input thread. Again, I don't know why I decided that for our role-playing game trilogy, we weren't going to do input threads. It probably wasn't a rational decision, but now I can't go back and change it. There will be new ones, though. There's a new input thread for next week, I promise. And next week, we're going to do an episode similar to this one. So this one is about role-playing games and media. Next week, we're going to talk about board game media. So I started thinking about all the different media I listen to get the knowledge I do about board games, and I figured it's worth sharing. So we're going to talk about that. And I'm interested in what other people listen to and how they keep their knowledge up on board games and such. So that will be on Board Game Geek. You can go to it at tabletopgametalk.com/BGG. I think you can get to it through Board Game Geek by searching for Tabletop Game Talk podcast, but it's a little bit trickier, so I just have the direct link there. All right, let's talk about media.
All right.
I love the fact that you just nod your head. Like, all right.
I catch myself like half a second later. I start to nod and I go, yeah, vocal affirmation.
Uh-huh. It's like you've never done this before. She's like smiling and nodding.
That's how I keep it fresh.
I'm just by not paying
very much attention.
Kitty's nodding. Fletcher's making hand gestures. We got an email about me talking too much.
It's really hard to interrupt you sometimes.
You're
uninterruptible.
All right. Well, this whole episode is all your idea, Kitty. So even
was it? Was it my idea?
Whether you believe it is or not, you inspired it.
That's fair.
Why don't you take the lead?
All right. Well, you wrote a little outline here, so I thought you were going to take the lead because this first little bullet point was all you.
All right, fine. I'll take the lead back for the first little bullet point because I think it's interesting to... We did a history last week, I think.
That was last week.
So talking about role-playing games in the media, it's almost... I don't know, obligatory, I guess, to talk about the Satanic Panic of the early 80s, which was not the first time role-playing games were in the media, but it was a pretty significant time. And I watched a little, news video or whatever. I'll put the link in the show notes about the Satanic Panic, how it started. And apparently the sales of Dungeons & Dragons during that went up quite a bit, but the aftermath wasn't so good for the brand.
This doesn't seem to be unique to Dungeons & Dragons. It seems to be anytime something fantasy-based, other role-playing games have fallen into this too. When a bunch of teenagers start getting together and doing something, adults all freak out that it must be terrible.
Turn off your rock and roll.
That's basically what happened.
Yeah, this happened to Vampire the Masquerade, and some murders actually got pinned on Vampire the Masquerade. You know, it was because of that game. Yeah, there's always something that's going to create like this backlash. Harry Potter, for goodness MTV. sake, MTV has so much. Anything beloved by teenagers, oh, it must be evil. They're brainwashing the youth.
That is pretty close. Yeah, but it had a pretty huge effect. And then there's a movie called Mazes and Monsters that was released in 1982. I'm pretty sure it was Tom Hanks's first movie, or at least one of his first movies he ever did, which is all, I wouldn't say about the Satanic Panic, but based on. So the idea is this character that played by Tom Hanks goes crazy playing mazes and monsters and ends up committing a real murder and trying to kill himself or something. It's a terrible movie. No one should ever actually watch it. But like, that's the type of media that came out of it from, you know, the Satanic Panic era. But we've come a long way since then. Our so current far. Media is crazy good for a lot of this stuff. And it's created a whole genre of podcasts and YouTube and Twitch and just all kinds of cool things. So, Kitty, I will turn this back over to you. Like I said, I'll put the link to this video in the show notes. It's only like 12 minutes long, but it's a really interesting watch if you aren't familiar with it or if you want to get a little bit more information on the background of that.
All right. So where to begin? Do we want to start with popular culture that references role-playing games? Seems like a good place to start for me.
Yeah.
So in the last few years, we have seen role-playing games played on Stranger Things. It is a huge, huge, huge part of that. There's an episode of Community where they play Dungeons & Dragons.
Two of them.
Yeah, two where that is the entire episode is them playing Dungeons and Dragons. Big Bang Theory references this. There are others that are not popping into my mind that I just had on the tip of my tongue that Chris didn't write in the show notes, so I forgot them. But these things have made, I would say specifically Dungeons and Dragons, much more known to mainstream culture than it used to be. There was a time when you would say D&D and somebody would be like, what? And you would have to explain, oh, Dungeons and Dragons, and like give a little background. Now you can pretty much say D&D to most people and they know what you are talking about.
They may still think you're a nerd, but they'll know what you're talking about. And
exactly.
What's interesting is even if they look, it's like, yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've never played it. If you say, well, if you want to play sometime, we can. It's like, oh, I don't know. I don't know the rules. I don't know. I'd be good at it. But you can tell that they're curious. They're like, but I'm curious about what's going on there.
That curiosity leads to, I don't know. I always find that curiosity pretty funny. Yeah. Like even my now fiance, it's like, oh, it's like she's like, you play Dungeons and Dragons? You're a big nerd. I'm like, yeah, well, I mean, yes. But also, like, if you ever wanted to play, I could teach you how to play. It's super easy. And she's like, she's kind of like on the fence about it. But like, she found out that like one of our mutual friends also plays, who's also a girl. And she was like, oh, really? You play? And she plays very occasionally. But she's like, yeah, I totally play. So it's kind of like, I don't know, piqued her interest a little bit.
Well, and it's like an acceptance. It's like, well, you know, if they're talking about it on my favorite sitcom, or, you know, a friend of mine who I thought was a normal person plays D&D, maybe I could play too.
I
thought he was a normal person, but I was completely wrong about that.
I actually think as you look at sort of like the dates on the references of these shows, so something like Big Bang Theory, I feel like from the very beginning, you know, they would talk about playing Dungeons and Dragons. They would show like bits, but not actual gameplay at all. They would just kind of reference like, oh, we're such big nerds. We play this. Ha ha. And like, it was kind of, they were the butt of the joke. And that's always been kind of my issue with Big Bang Theory, that and their treatment of women nerds. But that's maybe a different podcast to rant about. But then you go to Community, where they're actually playing at the table. You get to see a little bit of the role play. You see them rolling dice. You see their character sheets. And no one there is really into play. None of them are really big players. But they are all sitting at the table playing, and you get to see how the game works a bit. Whereas Stranger Things, they're huge into it. That is what they do. They are a group, and you get to see gameplay at the table and how their like campaign is working a little bit, and it plays over a few episodes.
And they're constantly referring to it in real life, you know, because honestly, you play enough D&D, you're always talking about, you're relating it to real life events all the time, It's like you trip on the sidewalk. Oh, failed my dex check. You know, you just make these like side comments.
You grab a cookie like, failed my willpower save.
Oh, that's a good one. I'm going to use that way more often. Yeah. I have no willpower.
My favorite thing about Stranger Things, in a no spoilers kind of way, is that the actual show feels like you could turn these characters into role-playing characters, and there's these moments where like somebody fails their persuasion check and punches someone in the face, and you're like, it feels like such a role-playing vibe to the whole show, even when they are not doing the role-playing parts of the show. I think it's a really good, I just love Stranger Things.
So if you haven't seen Stranger Things, it's a Netflix original series.
Stop listening right now on Netflix.
And then come back. It's about a group of kids that are dealing with a monster from another dimension. So there's like a scientific experiment going on. That doesn't really spoil much. It's basically the first episode. You're going to find all that out. And in the first episode, it actually opens on these kids playing a role-playing game in the basement, which is stereotypical of the setting. It's an 80s setting.
It reminds me a lot of E.T. in the very beginning.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, E.T. is a great one, too. Yeah. Like, E.T. kind of, it doesn't open with them playing D&D, but they're definitely playing D&D at the table. In Stranger Things, they never mention directly that they're playing Dungeons & Dragons. It's sort of alluded to by what they're doing, but they don't say it. But it's funny because everyone knew exactly what they were doing, so much so that I think this month or just within the last couple weeks, Stranger Things, the Dungeons & Dragons starter set, Stranger Things Edition, was recently released. And it includes the adventure that they were playing in the basement from season one. In all other ways, it's just a normal Dungeons & Dragons starter set, but it has like the Demogorgon, which is the monster from Stranger Things, and characters from Stranger... I don't know if the characters... It's not the kids, it's the characters the kids were playing. And that adventure. Yeah. So that tie-in is like really cool. Like they just kind of like attach themselves...
That is a really cool tie-in.
Yeah. So, and the box looks really cool too. And it's a $20 box retail. You can probably get it for $10 on Amazon easily. If people are like, oh, I saw this, that looks cool. Oh, now I can buy the starter set. I don't need anything else except for this. And now I can play Dungeons & Dragons. Boom. I'm good to go.
Yeah. I think it really makes it more easily approachable for people who... If you don't know that there's like a starter set out there, like role-playing games can be really hard to, if you don't know someone who plays, if you can't find that friend, if you are, worried about starting conversations with people, it can be so hard to get into. Like you need other people to do this. And I think there's like this really big intimidation factor, and that these shows out there now are making it accessible, that like everyone kind of knows like the basics of, oh, I'm going to roll a die. There might be a grid on the table. I'm going to have a character. Those are things that like, I don't know that I knew until I started living with Chris and Spencer and they played Dungeons & Dragons all the time.
Yeah. Well, because you were not interested in playing at all. And then you started watching us on a regular basis, I think. And we just kind of sucked you in.
So I had seen other role-playing games played before, games which are played much more in a role-play heavy setting and system, and I am not into that. I am much more on the mechanic side. I don't enjoy talking in my character's voice. I want to be able to say, like, I would like to persuade this guy to do what I want, and I don't have to come up with the words because my character is very persuasive, but I as a human am not, and trying to come up with those words is scary for me, and I don't want to sound stupid.
I don't want to act my character. Exactly. I just want to play it.
Yes.
I just want to control the character, not act the character.
I'd say that's still one of my biggest fears of role-playing, is that somebody's going to make me actually act my character, because if I'm playing somebody who's charismatic or intelligent, it's like my character's better at this than I am as a human. And if I try to roleplay it, it doesn't work. I can roleplay other stuff. Give me my moments. But when it feels like you're forced to do those roleplaying moments at the table, that can be so intimidating.
Yeah, I call it first person versus third person playing. And they're compatible.
Yeah.
Like you can have both at the table at the same time. you just can't pressure someone who wants to be third person into a first person position because it doesn't work. Also, there's this tendency for when you think about role playing games, you start thinking that I need to act my part, act my mm-hmm. character. But the whole idea of having a character that has stats and a sheet associated with it is your character is your character. You're pulling the strings, but your character's doing the heavy lifting. You know, we don't expect, hopefully, that you're going to be swinging a broadsword at an orc if you're attacking. So why do, even though you're, you know, you might have a really high strength, it might be your character's really good at that. But now when you want to make a diplomacy check, suddenly the player has to make all of the conversations and stuff. It's like, but wait, no, I have this high check. You tell me how it plays out because I don't know. And, you know, so I think that's okay to do that. And whenever players want to jump in and add color, they can. But I don't think it should be a requirement for players to come up with all that stuff.
So I consume a lot of actual play podcasts, and I have now come up to this moment where I can't remember if something happened to me in real life or on an actual play podcast. So if this happened on a podcast and somebody else out there listens to that podcast, please email me and let me know. Somebody was role playing something and let me know if this happened, like, you know, this weekend and you guys were present too. So somebody was role playing something and they gave this really dumb reasoning and rolled super high, and like somebody said the only like reasonable thing for like what just happened, like you just created an idiot in this universe because that high roll with that terrible excuse, the only reason that that could have worked is that that person you were lying to is just dumb. Like, and those moments are still really fun.
Yeah. Well, and that's the kind of the risk of it too, right? It's like, okay, you know, I want to convince the Duke that, you know, he should hand over his army to me. Okay, why? Because, you know, I'm handsome. All right, make your diplomacy check. Oh, look at that. You convince him. Okay, what exactly? It was like, what does it say? But it also allows the DM to say, you know something? The Duke actually takes a shining to you. He really thinks that you're you're a swell guy. And he's like, sure, you can have my army. And what are you doing for dinner later? You know, so you have a lot that you can play with there. And it's just a matter of, you know, taking it and running with it. I really think a D&D game, more than any other game type that I can think, or not even D&D, a role-playing game, it's improv, right? It's collective improv. And
yeah.
As long as people aren't shutting each other down, pretty much anything can be fun and advance the story along. The dice are just there to help you, kind of guide you into what should be the next step. Is it a good thing or a bad thing that just happened, you know, in relation to this? They're part of the improv, but they're not everything, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Which is what I really like about the community episode, because they did not play by the rules correctly. They had multiple different editions of the game on the table. Only the DM ever rolled a die, but they were also incredibly close to how an actual game of D&D can be played, because everyone was into their character, into the story, and just played off of each other, and it made for a compelling story in that episode, which is like... It's funny how wrong it was by rules-wise, but how right it was in the feeling of how you play.
Yeah, and I think that, if I'm remembering correctly, the show creator is an actual D&D player, but the writers were not.
That would make sense.
So you have, like, enough knowledge, but, you know, you can't. And, you know, it's true that in these shows, they're telling a different creative story than the story of a group playing D&D. Like, there's other stuff going on, so you have to make it fit into that. So it's never going to be a perfect representation. And
yeah, community is not an actual play of but, people playing D&D,
which is a great segue into my favorite thing. Although I'm actually pretty limited in my actual plays that I listen to, but I am very dedicated to the ones that I do.
All right, why don't you define what an actual play is?
So an actual play podcast, or an actual play whatever it is, there's a lot of YouTube actual plays, there are...
Twitch,
there you go, that's another one. These are people sitting down, playing a role-playing game, and recording themselves playing it so that other people will watch it. So you are the feel of it to me is you are the friend sitting at the table who doesn't talk. You just get to hang out with all these other people while they play a role-playing game, and you get to witness it. Would you say that's a good definition, Chris?
I would say yes, that is a good definition. Now, you are far more experienced in actual plays than I am. I have listened to one. And
is
then,
it the one that I sent you?
Well, I listened to the first Glass Cannon episode. I've always meant to go watch Critical Role, but I never got around to it. I've watched a couple Acquisition Incorporated, which is kind of the official Dungeons & Dragons actual play podcast. And then the one that I watched or I listened to all the way through was the it's called the Wednesday Night All-Stars. And the reason I listened to it is because a friend of mine who does the Gaming and BS podcast was doing the Streets of Avalon Kickstarter, and he did an Avalon, like, I think it was like a 10-episode adventure in this city, which is set in D&D, but his own version of the city. And he was DMing for some friends, and I listened to all of that, which I actually found really compelling. I've just never, like, sought out. There we go. I'll get words.
Wow.
I never sought out actual plays to listen to in general. I have so many other things I listen to. And I think for me, the main issue is being the DM all the time, I am not a good player. So when I'm sitting at a table and someone else is DMing, I have to turn off the, oh, I would have done it this way instinct. And
the backseat DM.
Yeah, well, and I'm okay at not, like, saying things out loud, but it's almost like if you were
the voice in your head.
Yeah, well, if you're behind the curtain so much, being like watching movies doesn't mean anything. If you're making movies, you watch movies in a different way, right? You're watching movies based on how the cinematography worked and the writing and whatever. You're judging it in a different way. And being behind the screen so much, every time I watch a game or listen to a game or play in a game, that's where my mind is. It's like how I would have composed this as opposed to what's going on. So actual plays to me are actually really hard to listen to, which is why I'm leaning on you for this, because I don't know. You seem to be addicted to them, and I'm impressed with that.
So I started listening, actually, we'll start with My Brother and Me, which is a hilarious comedy advice podcast that my brother got me into listening to. And they actually, so it's three brothers, and they got their dad to join them, and they started an actual play podcast once I had already been sucked into their other show. And this is what got me into actual plays, is through them. So they do the Adventure Zone, and they did a 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons campaign that they have now wrapped up. That is their Balance campaign. And I started listening to it and kind of let it go, and then came back to it and, like, devoured it. And when you're hanging out with a baby all the time, there's not a lot of interesting conversation, but your hands are usually full and your eyes are busy. So these actual play podcasts really were great for me. And so I listened to all of that. I caught up on their newest arc is Amnesty, where they were playing Monster of the Week in the Powered by the Apocalypse system. And that's been hilarious, and I love it. And then I caught up, and I was like, what do I do now? And I tweeted out at the world, and I got way more responses than I have ever gotten on any tweet that I have ever put out before. And I listened to the first episode of a ton of podcasts before I found the Glass Cannon, which I would say I might like even more than the Adventure Zone now. I think that they're a really good balance of table talk as friends. You get to know them as people. You get to know their characters and their campaign, and they know the rules, and they play Pathfinder. So there's a lot of, like, rules discussions, and they're actually, you get some behind the scenes of the mechanics of the game, but not so many that you get bogged down and lose the story. And that's where I'm at. But you list a actual play, and I may have listened to the first episode and a half before I was like, I don't know.
Well, what I think is interesting is these actual plays, nobody who played D&D ever thought that anyone would be interested in listening to them play D&D. In about 11, 12 years ago, 2008, Penny Arcade was a popular webcomic, and they liked Dungeons & Dragons, and fourth...
It still is. It
is a popular webcomic. In fact, PAX, which is the Penny Arcade Expo, so Penny Arcade has grown from a webcomic to be one of the largest conventions. There's multiple conventions now. But they did a actual play with Chris Perkins as the DM, and they were just going to do like a one-off. It was just like Penny Arcade, we'll do a podcast. And, you know, Chris Perkins is on record saying like he never thought anyone would actually be interested in this. Well, it was wildly successful. Like everyone wanted to hear this. So that later became Acquisitions Incorporated, Acquisitions Incorporated is the name of the adventuring group. And now you can watch this on Twitch. I think it's under the Dice Camera Action title, but you can watch it on Twitch every week. Now, this is an ongoing campaign. Well, that led into a lot of other people saying, hey, this is actually kind of entertaining. I want to do this. Critical Role was probably not the next one, but the next really big one.
It's a big one. Yeah. It really popularized the actual play genre, I would say.
Yep. And this was a bunch of actors. So Penny Arcade was a bunch of comedians, you know, comic writers. Critical Role is actors that are playing D&D. So again, it's very entertaining because they are trained entertainers. But it can also be intimidating because if you try to learn D&D through Critical Role, your idea of the level that you need to role play can be a little off balance.
But also sometimes they get so caught up in their like, I'm acting this moment that I get like, this isn't role playing anymore. This is like, it feels scripted at times. It feels acted. Yes, I'm an actor. Calculon.
And I think it is in a lot of ways, some of these larger actual plays. So if you listen to, and we sort of skipped over the section on just Dungeons and Dragons podcast, but I want to mention two. There are countless role-playing game podcasts, countless. But if you're interested in Dungeons and Dragons podcast, Dragon Talk is the official one, and they talk on a relatively regular basis. It's a weekly podcast, and I would say about every other episode is talking to some content creator, whether it be for podcast, Twitch, YouTube, whatever. And a lot of times they will talk about, you know, writing the next adventure or writing the next episode or whatever. Because it's not scripted, it is certainly guided strongly through a story that the players and the DMs are working together to say, I really want my character to, you know, have this opportunity or, you know, go down this path or whatever. And those stories will be created together collaboratively. They'll play out the way you would play Dungeons and Dragons, but the setup is already there, which is a great way to play Dungeons and Dragons in general. Like if you have a character, I'm like, this is where I see my character going, talk to your DM so that you can, you know, kind of arrange that storyline to happen. I think with Critical Role and things like that, though, it's taken to another level. But at the same time, the DMs will often go on record saying, it's like, yeah, I had this expectation of what was going to happen. And then this curveball came and we just went with it. And then that changes the whole story. And that's the great thing about this live improv that we do, where even though you can try to plan it, you can try to script it, it's not fully scripted. It's whatever the players do, you just have to deal with it and go with it. And I think that's it's a unique thing in modern media entertainment. Like you just wouldn't expect, you don't see improv television, but when you watch these D&D actual plays or listen to them, that's what you have. It's improv television and it can be really, really cool.
So Fletcher, your experience with actual plays, is it limited to the episode of Glass Cannon I made you guys listen to?
Yes, just that one. I mean, I hear a lot of advertisement for the Adventure Zone because I listen to a lot of
Maximum Fun.
It's called Maximum Fun shows.
But don't give them free advertising; they don't need it.
Oh no!
But there are so many great podcasts on that network.
Yeah, I think for me, it's more of like I have so many podcasts that I already listen to, and some of them are I just can't listen to them all. That like adding in another set, I'm at my podcast maximum essentially. So I just can't fit any more in. There is no more time.
So
no more listening time.
Do you listen to other McElroy podcasts? If you listen to Maximum Fun, you must have stumbled across them because I think they create like a half of the podcasts on that network.
Yeah. So I think I occasionally will listen to My Brother and Me because that is really funny. But
you don't do like the main Schmanners or
no. So I don't really actually listen to any of the McElroy ones. I listen to Oh No, Ross and Carrie.
Yeah,
that's like the main one that I listen to on there. But yeah, it's just I'm just full up of podcasts that I listen to, and I just don't have any more time to the podcast.
Do you guys listen at 1x speeds or faster?
I listen to it in real time because I don't like the chipmunky quality it gets when you start speeding them up.
I use Overcast, which has like the
pause
increased speed feature. So if there's like a lot of empty space, it'll kind of skip ahead. So, but other than that, it's real time. I don't. Again, I'm with Kitty. I don't like how they sound when you speed it up too much.
So I've been listening. I use Overcast as well. And if you're using iOS and you're not using Overcast for your podcast of listener choice, you really should give it a chance. Because even if you just listen to it at 1x speed, it will still strip out about 5 to 10 minutes from every podcast by just skipping silences. Like it just drops the silences. You don't even realize it's doing it.
I think in actual plays, you lose some of the dramatic suspense of a moment. Like sometimes pauses are on purpose and they have a purpose. And if you strip away the pauses and the tones that people are using because you're listening to them at 1.5 speed, Chris Steele, you are not hearing what somebody has carefully edited and put out into the world.
You don't know it was carefully edited.
Some of them are, some of them are not. And it's actually one of my things is I can't do an actual play with poor audio quality. I can't do it. And I can't listen to one that doesn't have any editing, but you also don't want it to be heavily edited. I like the feeling of you are sitting at the table, but I also don't need 10 pages of hearing people flip pages while they look up a rule. And I think that there's a good balance to be found there. And you can tell who is taking the time to put out a quality product and who is not.
I just think it's funny that you're saying it's like you should listen to it in actual speed, how it's put out. Because it sounds to me, it's kind of the same argument for books versus audiobooks, where it's like, no, you need the pages. You need to flip the pages. You need to have that physical tactile feel.
And you can say this between books and e-readers, sure. But books and audiobooks is different.
Yeah, it's like saying, I want to watch more movies, so the movies I'm going to watch, I'm going to watch at 2x speed.
Oh my gosh. I saw this lady on an airplane, and it was the weirdest thing I have ever seen. And she sat down, and it was like she only gets to watch movies on United flights. So she was watching A Star is Born and Crazy Rich Asians, and she was trying to get through both of them in a 2.5-hour flight. So she kept, every time nobody was talking, she kept hitting the 15-second forward button. And I was just like, I couldn't watch her watch movies anymore. It was making me so insane. And that's what you do, Chris. That is you.
No. So I rarely...
He doesn't hit the 15-second forward button. He just hits the fast forward button.
So
it's worse.
All right. So I'm gonna put myself on a little bit defense here. First of all, I do skip commercials. So if there's any internal ads, I have a...
That's fine.
My settings are 30 seconds Everyone skip does. Forward and 15 seconds skip back. So As it's usually a double be. Tap. And then if I go too far, I'll go back 15 seconds. So I do that. But with Overcast, is it Overcast?
The app that you use,
yeah. Using?
Okay. Yeah. What I'll do is I'll set it to 1.5. But really what it ends up doing is it does a really good job at speeding.
Like this and it's just
No. It does a really good job at speeding up the voice without changing the voice. So it's just like someone's talking really fast and they're going to be talking like this, but they're not going to really be changed. You don't change the pitch at all. They're just talking fast. And whoever's listening to us at 1.5 just went to 2. And they're like, wait a minute, what just happened? But anyway... So I like that. And it also will take, oftentimes it won't be 1.5 speed on the voice anyway. It'll be more like a 1.25 because it still counts the silences it takes out as part of that. So it nets 1.5 times faster, but it's not actually 1.5 times faster. And I get through a lot more podcasts that way. So there are podcasts I listen to that I've never listened to at normal speed. And when I'm hearing Sydney listen to them, I'm like, who is that? Because why, actually not who is that, but why is he talking so slowly? Like, that's just painful to listen to as they talk like this That's what happens when you get used to it.
Do you watch movies and TV shows at 1.25 or 1.5?
No, because 1.5 tends to be the next up, and I think that's too fast. I think like 1.5, because you can watch YouTube at like 2x speeds, right? But
I don't know.
Apparently you can.
Oh, it's just the worst.
Yeah, for me, that's too much. Now, I will say editing, like we're far enough along. So what we recorded last weekend, mm-hmm. I will likely edit a lot of that at 2x speed. Because otherwise, I will spend 16 hours editing that. So that's going to be a lot of just playing things at 2x so I can like find where I need to go, edit, you know, that particular spot, add in whatever effects or whatever. So I'm going to be listening to that at 2x speed all the time. But that's for a different purpose. Or if I'm looking for something specific and I'm watching a YouTube video and I don't want to consume it, I'm trying to get information.
Well, yeah, that's fast a time. Forward yeah. is acceptable. It is living life on fast forward that me and Fletcher are criticizing you for. And I think we've completely lost the thread of RPGs in this conversation. Now we're just making fun of your podcast listening style. All right.
Well, I will take it back to saying you can listen to a lot of actual plays. If you listen to them just a little bit faster, you can get so much more podcasts in your life.
My problem...
I have the same advice for movies and TV shows.
Yeah, my problem is that I have a lot of free time and I get through them faster than they are put out listening to them at regular speed. So why would I speed them up?
Yeah, I don't have that much free time. I just keep taking on projects. That's my big problem.
Yeah.
So speaking of projects, so we talked about actual plays. I do want to talk real quickly D&D Twitch. So last year they did the Stream of Many Eyes, which every year Wizards of the Coast announces a new big Dungeons and Dragons storyline. It's usually a big box or a big book that they're releasing. This year, last year they did the Stream of Many Eyes, which had a lot of content creators, so actual play on YouTube, and they would live feed it, you know, on Twitch, and that they invited a whole bunch of people to. I think it was the Seattle area, I think that was the LA area, but anyway, West Coast. This year, they're going even further and doing more with it, and they're calling it The Descent. This is on May 17th through the 19th, and it's going to be kind of debuting their new storyline. So the Wizards of the Coast is pretty secretive for stuff that hasn't been announced yet. They tend to keep it under wraps until it's ready to go, because Dungeons & Dragons is the biggest one, so if they do something wrong, everyone talks about it. But so I think that's interesting, because what part of their whole thing now is social is media, and they've hired people that are like responsible for the media of Dungeons and Dragons, and getting all of these actual play content producers together in one place to promote Dungeons and Dragons. Like, it's not just a game that you can play in your basement anymore. It is a game that people are watching and spectating, and far more people are watching Dungeons and Dragons being played than are actually playing the game. And they're going all in with it. They're saying, this is cool. Let's go with it. And it's working out really, really well for them. So I think that's a cool thing. If I, you know, had the ability, I might go there for this particular event, but I don't. So I've never watched it on Twitch either. I don't know why. This stuff fascinates me. Because
we're too old to know how Twitch works. I don't know.
Yeah. That might be it. I don't know. Like, it fascinates me.
It's like Snapchat. I just missed it. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I got old. I don't know what happened.
The UI is inscrutable.
I recently really downloaded TikTok so I could see what that's all about. I recommend that nobody do that ever.
No.
Not because it's terrible, but because you can literally spend 2 hours and nothing valuable came out of it whatsoever.
Is that what they call it, TikTok?
It's pretty close.
It just wastes your time. You watch the seconds of your life pass before your eyes.
It is... It's such, you feel so dirty after like flipping through these 15-second long videos. It's just terrible. Anyway, actual plays. So we recorded ourselves playing Dungeons and Dragons this weekend.
We did.
And we think we recorded maybe 6 hours of audio. We only played for about 2.5 to 3 hours. But we created characters in session zero. So how do you guys think that went? And for patrons, you will get to listen to what we did after. I'm definitely editing it before it goes out. But within the next week or two, you will get probably the first four episodes. We will then come together as a group and decide, like, you know, where we want to go, how we want to change things and tweak things, since this was just a first time. But patrons, you will be able to listen to this. If you're not a patron, you're going to have to wait a bit longer until we actually set up our feed. But we'll see. We'll see when that happens. It's up in the air. But that said, on the other side of the media, on the creating media side of it, what did you guys think of what we did on this weekend?
I liked it a lot. I had a lot of fun. It's been a while since I played D&D, and I don't know if we should get into, not spoilers so much, but like, do you want to talk about
as detailed as we want?
The world?
Yeah, the world is fine. Let's not talk about the actual adventure, but the world, the characters, okay. Yeah, all that's fine.
Okay. So it's taking place in Eberron, right? Or it's
Eberron is the setting, yes.
Eberron is the setting, yes. Which I was unfamiliar with, because I've always ever played in the Forgotten Realm standard.
Where most people
quote
play.
Quote-unquote standard D&D yeah, setting. So that was new to me. And how we played, typically when I play Dungeons & Dragons, it's like, here is some kind of quest that really doesn't mean anything, but you need to get out of the tavern or your old town that you're in, and then you're going to go and kill things. And then you're going to come back, and then you're going to go out and come back. And, you know, you're just like almost marauding. You're like a marauding party that just kills everything.
But you're the good guys.
Yeah. But we're the good guys.
You're good guy murderers.
I think.
Yeah.
Usually.
Usually. But this wasn't like that. It was a lot more of kind of like talking and detective work and a lot of skill checks and a lot less just combat, which I thought was actually really fun.
Yeah, I had a really good time. It's hard to say, though, how this is going to feel different than just playing D&D feels, because we haven't gotten into kind of the other side. I haven't had to listen to myself do it yet. I'm a little bit notorious in Chris Steele's mind of I don't listen to my own podcasts, and that drives him insane. But it just feels weird to me to listen to myself. But I'm going to have to listen to this because of the editing, and I need to know, you know, what is happening and the way that we're recording and the way most people, I think, record actual plays is we are recording more than one episode at once. So when we go back to play, you have to remember what happened a while ago, much more so than in just playing a game of D&D. Because if you forgot what happened last session and you're just holding up your group by not remembering, that's one thing. But if you're making, you know, everyone else who listened to this last week, like, how does she not remember this? You know, like, those moments are a little different. And it's hard to say how it's going to change over time how it feels to play on an actual play versus just playing.
So when you guys were playing, were you thinking about the fact that people were listening, or were you just playing what you would normally play, how you would normally play?
Not really. I wasn't really thinking about that, personally.
I would say it when I was really into the moment, when I was doing something, I wasn't thinking about it very much. But in those moments where I was listening to other people, I was thinking about what I'm going to do next. I didn't have, like, when I had those free moments of thought, I was thinking about the fact that this is supposed to be entertaining.
So being the DM and the control freak of the group, having, you know, setting up the room and making sure the audio quality, because we're using different mics than what we're using now.
Yelling at us for using ice in our drinks, putting paper towels over everything that could possibly clink in the world.
It is amazing how well those things pick up. Yeah, opening a can of soda and you just watch that spike on the waveform. I'm just like, ugh. Although we prepared for that. It's like, all right, everyone open your soda now. And then, yeah, it was crazy. But anyway, so those types of things I was thinking about. And like I said, we're using different mics. The mics we use now are really good for single person vocals. And the mic we're using for the actual play is picking up the entire room. Well, whenever you pick up the entire room, there's a little bit of a like a room echo. It's not terrible, but it's there, and I'm trying to like filter that out and worry about that.
I love that right now there is a thunderstorm, and as you were talking about how great these mics are and not picking up room noise, I'm watching the thunderstorm spike on my recorder. So sorry, everyone else, it's raining.
Now I have to leave the thunder in, because normally I can edit it out on your particular mic. But if I do that, nobody has any idea. But yeah, so there was a lot that I was thinking of, and I spent, I don't know, probably 2 weeks prepping the room and testing the mic and, you know, audio software to edit and
secretly
make sure that
recording your friends' conversations.
I didn't do it in secret. I said, hey, I'm recording stuff, so I'm going to leave the room. Don't talk about me because I'll hear it later.
Or not so secret because there's like a giant microphone hanging.
But there was a lot to think about there. And then I've been listening back to it. And all of a sudden, like what we were doing at the table seemed totally fine. But listening back, I'm like, oh, this is a consideration. This is something that we shouldn't do when we're, you know, playing for somebody else to listen to, because it doesn't convey itself as well as I thought it would. So this is where listening to us is, you're right, you know, kind of keeps it fresh in your mind. You can say it, you know, hear what I edited in, because we'll be adding like background noises and stuff like that.
But also hearing what you keep and what makes sense to do, and like what as a player I should be focusing on doing, because it makes then editing easier for you and there's more good content there. But having that in your mind, that's going to make you crazy and like ruin gameplay. So maybe don't think about
exactly.
That. There's so much to think about.
and that's the thing that is interesting when we're creating this content is, I don't want to give a bunch of rules saying that we're performing for an audience, because that's one of the things I said at the very beginning. We are playing knowing that someone's listening. We're not playing for the people who are listening. And that's a very important distinction, because we still want to play the game. We want it to be our game. But there are certain things that the one thing that really like stuck out to me is we were playing D&D as a group, and the four players were trying to come together to solve the situation as a group. And when that was happening, as I was listening back, I'm like, well, I'm listening to Fletcher, Sydney, Kitty, and Spencer, but I don't know the characters. I don't know what the characters are doing. I know what the players are doing. And it was very interesting, because while we were playing, I didn't get that feeling. It's just when I started listening back, I started to get that feeling.
Yeah. And I think some of that's going to kind of develop over time. I think, you know, we created those characters that day. So you don't get as biggest sense of your character. I know that I have put a lot of thought into my character since then. I've put a lot of effort. I haven't put it into D&D Beyond yet, because I was the only bad person who took home their character sheet and was like, I'll do this myself.
I did start your character.
I did do my reading, and I've put a lot more thought into it. So I think I have a better sense of Faye is my character. I think I have a better sense of who she is and what she is doing in the world and how she carries herself now. Because in that moment, I was so busy trying to remember what are the numbers associated with my character that now I will remember those better, because I've had more than half an hour with them.
Yep. Well, and I was talking to Sydney about her character in the exact same situation. She's like, I don't know this character. Like, we just started, and, you know, we created this character, we just started playing. So I don't know the character. I don't know what this character would do.
But I think that's part of the magic of an actual play, is that the listener gets to go on that journey with you. And if you go into session one knowing your character so well and just like presenting them in the world, and I've put so much thought into this, you know, the player is so into it, but the listener might feel left behind. They might feel like there's something they don't know about this. And that can be good if it's like, oh, there's something I don't know about this, but I'm going to find out. That can be really good. But there's something I don't know about this, and I feel like I'm missing out, and I feel like I'm not caught up, even though this is episode one, that's bad.
Right. And I see, like, I totally saw that from all of you as well. It's like, you're playing the character sheet, and because we just didn't have time to learn the characters. But that's where I think that this scenario, like, Fletcher, do you feel you know your character? Like, you had an idea,
I had an idea, but now I have a better idea. My character is, I mean, probably my character and Spencer's character, we had the prerequisites of like how you kind of wanted this to play out, and our characters were like definitely the loosest formed, because like my only character needs to have like this kind of background, but like that's it. Everything else about this character is up to me. So I had a starting point, but I didn't really know where to go with it. And then the other thing is that I'm pretty new to this world, so I don't know how to play this character in this type of world, in this setting. That's the other thing that kind of like, I don't want to say like tripped me up, but I was more hesitant.
So I think some actual plays steer away from this. They don't want you to feel the player at the table. They want it to feel as though you are with the characters at the table. And I actually find that the ones that I'm the most drawn to are ones where I know both the player and the character. And I do think it takes more time to build that up, to build that kind of relationship between the player, the character, and the listener at the table. But I think it's much more entertaining to listen to. I think if you are just listening to the characters, it feels like a show. It doesn't feel like a game. And there are die rolls in there, but some podcasts, even like, they don't talk about what the numbers on the die are. You don't hear the dice rolled. And I tend to steer away from those. They feel more like we are using this as a format to tell our story, not we are playing a game for you to listen to. And that's what I like in a podcast. And I'm sure there are other people out there who are completely disagreeing with me right now, who are like screaming like, ew, why? I want to hear the characters. I want to hear the story. And I'm more like, I want to hear some of the mechanics, and I want to get to know the people behind the character. Like, especially if you are going to do a campaign in which there is character death. You know, if you don't know the person who's going to be playing the character and that character dies, like, why have the same person play a new character? We might as well replace them with a new human on the podcast. It doesn't make sense.
So you're saying if I don't like Fletcher anymore, I can just kill off his character and we can get someone to replace him?
Not the way we're playing, because it's Fletcher at the table who is playing.
Yes.
It starts with an R. Rurik?
Yes, yeah. That's my character's name.
And so I like,
you can kill off Rurik, but you still have to have Fletcher at the table the way we're playing. Whereas some podcasts, you can kill off Rurik, and it's like, well, he could have been played by anyone.
I'll just come back as the son of Rurik. Yeah.
I am Rurik, son of Rurik, here to avenge my father.
Yeah, so, and I like that idea. I like the fact that we're playing games. So when I'm editing this, a couple things that I'm trying to do is, A, edit very little. I am taking out a lot of the awkward pauses. So because
look at my character sheet.
Exactly.
Moments.
because I think that, and I do that pretty much as a standard editing technique that I do, is I just, any long pause, I just get rid of it. It makes everything sound a little just more fluid. But the things that I'm not sure what to edit out is the things that are like kind of unpredictable. Like we weren't sure. It's like, oh, what is this? It's like, oh, what? And I did that a lot because I'm familiar with the world, but I'm not an expert in the world yet. So if someone says, oh, well, tell me about this particular district, I'm like, you know. So some of that stuff, I will edit out a few of the M-I-E-S. But for the most part, I want to keep it in there just to say, you know, this is what it is right now. And we'll elaborate on it over time. But like, DMs aren't perfect. And I don't want it to come across as like, man, Chris just knows everything without any kind of hesitation or whatnot.
Part of the fun is the feel of being at the table. And you don't want to lose that magic.
Right.
Of like, oh, I'm the perfect DM. No, no person is the perfect DM. And if you're editing out all of your mistakes, you're editing out like the humanity of the podcast.
Yeah. And usually the most entertaining pieces.
Yeah. They can be the best parts.
So I'm pretty sure we have sky cabs in Eberron. I'm positive that's not what they're called, but that's what came to my head at the time. So I'm like, all right, that's what they are.
That's what they are in our. Sky cabs. So enjoy everyone.
Yeah.
So let us know, patrons, what you're liking and what you don't like, because you'll have the most influence. Yeah.
And you'll probably, as patrons, you will probably get this a good month or two ahead of our actual thread
where the feed will be coming out.
Yeah. So
the way we don't know yet.
Exactly. The way we're recording it, and the reason why you record multiple episodes at once, is we are recording a particular adventure. So each day we get together, we're recording an adventure. Those adventures take anywhere from 2 to 4 hours. And then we split that into multiple episodes. So this particular recording session, where we will put in an episode for our session zero, which is us creating characters and talking about the characters in general. We'll also do kind of a pre-episode, just kind of like a behind-the-scenes episode. And then the actual adventure itself will be 3 separate episodes, each being around 50 minutes long. And the reason you do that is a couple reasons. One is, content creators, you don't have to record every single week because that's just too much and you'd never keep up with it. But it also has
Who records a podcast once a week?
Well, getting together is the big deal, right? Because our biggest thing is we need to find 2 separate types of babysitters, because you have a 1-year-old and I have a 3-month-old, and they can't be around. And no. Getting to my place, so which is at best 1 hour away. For Fletcher, yeah. It's like 2 hours.
So far.
We just need to start picking you up on the way. It's not that far out of our way.
Yeah. So... But getting together and getting that group together. But then you have to have the endurance. So you can't do like a 6-hour session because we're old. And six hours of role-playing is a lot of work.
Especially when you can't eat crunchy foods on the mic and Chris tells you that low blood sugar means nothing to him.
Yeah, that does not. I don't care. If there's a wrapper, keep that out of this room.
I'm just going to bring like a pocket full of marshmallows next time.
Well, we settled on muffins. Muffins turn out to be a really good podcast food because it's very quiet to eat a muffin.
So, nothing with streusel topping.
Nothing.
Too crunchy.
But we are really excited about this. It could be terrible. The first adventure is probably going to be terrible. It's going to sound like a bunch of people fuddling around and trying to figure things out. And I think it'll get much better over time.
But that's why you guys should listen to more of The Glass Cannon, because if you enjoyed that first episode at all, that is them fuddling around at the table, and it gets better. It's so good.
So there's one other reason why I'm avoiding listening to actual plays at the moment, and mostly is so it doesn't taint my vision.
How you do ours. Yeah.
Exactly. So
that's fair.
It's one thing to mimic someone else or like pick up on things you like or don't like. It's another to actually get in a mindset that that's how it works. And
that's the way you either have to have like so many in your mind or like none.
Right.
But if you have just one that you follow, that it can feel really easy to just like, oh, this is how you do it.
Yeah. And I really want this to be your guys, because as a DM, I have fun if you guys are having fun. And so... Mm-hmm. I want this to be something that you guys like to do, because that'll come across as something that's fun. And it's starting out like your recommendation of, or your suggestion or your preference, I guess, of knowing the players and the characters. Like originally in my mind, I'm like, oh, we'll just do everyone kind of like talks as their character. We will do minimum out of character conversations and things like that. And you're like, no, I don't like that. I'm like, all right, we'll spin that and try something else. We do need to find a balance.
Yeah.
Just because.
I think we went too far the other direction.
Yeah.
But that was, I think, not knowing the characters had a big thing to do with that. But I think it's time to wrap up our thoughts. What are our thoughts on D&D and media or role-playing games as a whole?
I like role-playing games. I like that we're playing, and I'm excited that we're recording it. Hopefully the audio isn't terrible.
I feel like it makes us schedule things more. Yeah. It's more important to actually sit down and do it. It'll happen now.
Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah, we just decided on the next day we were going to record. The three of us did, and we needed to check in with our significant others. And as we're recording this, I'm seeing a text conversation of my mother-in-law asking, what are you doing on this date? Which we just picked as the next date.
Oh, no.
So I need to follow up on that and figure out what's going on. But yeah. So that's adult life. Adulting is hard.
It is really a lot of work.
All right. Let's jump into some listener mail.
Okay. So Luke wrote us and he says, what about games like Legacy of Dragonhold or other choose your own adventure style games? Where do they fit in RPGs in a box?
So he was talking about the RPG in a box episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you guys played Legacy of Dragonhold at all?
Nope.
I think I have it.
I might have given it to you because it is.
Yeah, I think I have it. So I have it and I haven't played it.
So Legacy of Dragonhold is a game by Fantasy Flight, and it is as much a... It's amazing that they even put this in a box and called it a game, or like a multiplayer game. They say, I guess they call it two players, but this is really a single player game that you can play with two players. And, or, but you can imagine this as like a modern day choose your own adventure where there's character sheets and there's a skill system and you're following through. This game has timelines. So the longer, you know, when time passes, you may go to different sections of, you know, different chapters, depending on where you go into town, based on whether or not it's day or night, or if it's a Tuesday or a Wednesday. So there's a really, there's a huge story there that's kind of interesting. And I think this is definitely a role-playing game in a box to me. It's just not, it's not a map-based game. It's not tactical in any way. It is story-based. It's much more of a choose-your-own-adventure type of thing.
And he also writes it, he says, I also wanted to agree with Chris. The best games are sandbox-style RPGs where the player and the GM create a story together. I, unfortunately, find few players that are willing to let go and just go with it and make up the story with me. I have to pull them along in the story. The best games are when the PCs, I guess that's player characters mm-hmm. as opposed to NPCs, come up with a solution to a problem that I never thought of.
You know, I find that you can have the same problem with GMs where you come up against something and you want to find a different way to go around it. And the GM's like, no. You're going to fight it. No,
you can't do that.
Nope, no, can't dip low here. You got to fight it.
Well,
it's an RPG on rails.
Yeah. Well, if anyone listened to our intro to Dungeons & Dragons, the one-off that we did, like I just sat back and let you guys talk about plans on how you ambush the goblins. I love when the players do that. It makes my job so much easier.
And then the goblins shot us.
Well,
and we had to fight them.
We were recording. So at a certain point, I'm like, you know something? You guys are just talking in the woods trying to figure out what to do. Goblins got bored and they came after you. So sometimes the DM does have to force things. But a trick that I do, or at least I try to do, is usually when I present a problem, I don't know what the solution is. And I wait for the players to tell me what the solution is. Because if I come up with a solution and the players don't come up with the same one, then what do? I say, no, it doesn't work. Or,
you know. that's what some people do.
Yeah.
But it's not entertaining to me. I love just like that idea. Now, I will have a solution in mind. If you guys come up with nothing, I'll be like, okay, at least I know there is a way of getting out of this situation. But I've never had that be the situations that my players have taken. They've always come up with something way more convoluted. And it was more fun, in effect, because it was new to me and fun for them.
All right. And the last thing that Luke writes in about, he says, he literally writes, the last thing is that I believe that RPGs in a box can easily become a full RPG. D&D, Grubbs, Mutants, and Masterminds, or any other RPG system are just that, a system for conflict resolution. In most cases, roll a die and get X number or higher to succeed. Why can't you use Descent as a system and create your own stories around the dungeon crawls?
So I think there was a game called Heroescape, which basically did this. You had one person against the characters, and that one person would like create the scenario and do that. And a lot of like the old version of Descent, it's a one versus many and things like that. My biggest thing with these types of things becoming full-on role-playing games, if you imagine something like Gloomhaven, your characters are a hand of cards, and that only works if you have a time limit on a particular encounter. And a lot of these types of games are that. There's some kind of thing you're trying to solve. There's a resource that is ticking away. And that's a little bit trickier to do in a freeform role-playing game. But, you know, creating your own scenarios for those systems, I think, works just fine. You guys have any thoughts on that?
I mean, I think...
Nope. I'm shaking my head again. Because I can see you.
I think all of my thoughts were pretty well covered in the episode. And I don't want to rehash that now.
All right. Well, Joe writes in about role-playing games in a box, and it basically takes the opposite of Luke. He says, I think I prefer role-playing games in a box because I came from video games, where role-playing games are told to you rather than you making up the story and characters. I'm used to Final Fantasy, Wild Arms, Xenogears, Dark Souls, etc. I love character customization and exploration, story-driven plot, etc. On the other hand, I hate creativity and sandbox type play for role-playing games. For example, if the DM who met to kick off the adventure at the bar, but the group ended up buying the bar and role-playing Cheers, that would irritate me so much. I like well-defined, clear rules of what I can do and don't feel comfortable with the freedom allowed in a role-playing game experience. I don't fault those who like role-playing games. I can understand it, but it's not for me.
You know, I have to comment here because it seems kind of funny that he says he likes RPGs. He names a few of them. These are all Japanese RPGs, I have to say. Yeah. And then he says he hates sandboxy type RPGs, which are typically Western RPGs. So I find that is actually kind of funny.
Well, like, so JRPG, Japanese role-playing games, tend to have, I guess Final Fantasy is the poster child for it. You create a group, you go around, you're getting encounters, you're fighting things, you're getting more powerful so you can fight stronger things. But there's a strong story that happens between, well, I guess the fights happen between the story, but big cutscenes, big story being told to you, and you're just trying to get to the next checkpoint. And those are, they can be, like I said, really engaging. He makes a good point here. I can develop my character, but I don't have to worry about being part of making up that story. The story is presented to me as I'm leveling up my character. I
think the Pathfinder adventure paths might be for you, Joe, if you want to get into role-playing games. They've got a story for you.
Well, and that's true. But I think what he's saying here is the players can still derail it, right?
That's fair, but I think you have to find the right people, the right group who are into the same style of play as you are. And, you know, maybe I'm just on the opposite side of this because I hate these kind of games because you're almost always, there's something you have to do to unlock the next portion of the story, and it's a really specific thing. And if you can't figure out what it is, you get stuck. And I started playing all these games before the days where you could just Google what to do, and it made me insane trying to run around like, oh, I forgot to talk to the one person in the train station so I could get out of the train station, and I'm just stuck in this train station. Yeah. And that drives me insane.
Yeah, and honestly, there are DMs out there that will run their D&D session or role-playing session like a Japanese role-playing game. I'm telling you this story. You're just going to go to this encounter and this encounter. And then once you're done with those encounters, I'll tell you the next piece of the story. Like, those types of DMs exist. Most people call them bad DMs. But if that's the type where you,
that's
you just,
what you're looking for.
Yeah. Then it's not bad because it's what your group is looking for. A lot of times, and the reason I say bad with kind of tongue in cheek, but the reason is if you're on rails, and there are a lot of good stories that are on rails, as in your players don't really have any freedom of choice. You're going to go encounter A, B, C, D, you're done. If you're on rails, the story itself can't make you feel like you're on rails. And if you can give that illusion well enough where it's like, nope, this is the story and you're going to be doing this, but you don't feel like you're being pushed along on a track, you've done a pretty good job there. If the players feel like they have no agency whatsoever and they're just rolling dice to get to the next spot, the players may not be interested in going back and playing those types of game again, at least as a live action type of thing. Video games is very different. Video games, we're kind of trained to grind our characters up in levels, as you're, especially for the Japanese role-playing games. You know, you're trying to grind your power level so you can get to the next story point. And I think that works fine for a lot of people. All right. We've gone a little long, but we have one more thing to
we
do.
We get really excited about our own thing.
It is. We have a winner for our Wanderer, the Cult of Barnacle Bay Kickstarter edition giveaway. This is episode 140. Yay!
I'm making jazz hands that no one can see.
That no one can see. I know, you're just distracting me. I'm like, oh, shiny. Like, what's going on? So if you are a patron, you're automatically entered in all of our contests. If you emailed us, if you participated in the feedback threads, if you participated in input threads, which usually exist, apologies for not existing here. But the feedback threads are there because I know, because I don't create them. Someone else does. And I thank you for those very much. Then you are automatically entered. And the winner for this particular giveaway is... I was going to let you guys say it, but I didn't really give you kind of the cue. I didn't put your name in front of the name.
Yeah. All right.
Eric Huffman.
Yay. So Eric, actually, I know Eric, and he's it'll make for easy delivery on this one. But Eric, congratulations. Eric is a patron. He also emails us all the time. He's active on the forums. So congratulations.
Congratulations. And
Let's see. I think that's enough. Oh, I did enter in our Gen Con event, which is, I think, Friday at 6 o'clock. It hasn't been officially approved yet, but that is the tentative time. So if you're going to be at Gen Con, take a look for our event when the events open at Gen Con, which I think is relatively soon. All right. You can follow us on Facebook at / Tabletop Game Talk Podcast, Twitter at Tabletop Game Talk. No. Tabletop Game TLK. Kitty is Lawful Good Mom. Fletch is Net Fletch. I am Game Master Chris. Give us an iTunes review because we like them. You can patron us at tabletopgametalk.com/Patreon, and you can listen to our actual play preview podcast as soon as I have them up and edited, which will be within the next 7 days. Okay, that's it.
Tabletop Game Talk is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network. Thanks for listening, and remember, we love your feedback. So email us with comments or questions about today's topic at feedback@tabletopgametalk.com.
Finally, a huge thank you to all of our patrons. Adam Harrison, the SGC, Thomas Atcheretti, Jason Strong, Terrence Milner, Stephen Seitz, Michael Old, Brian Arnold, Sean P. Kelly, C. Marie, Rudy Liu, Benjamin Heimowitz, Jerry Wong, Stephen Phillips, Caleb O'Brien,
Jennifer Engelbrecht, Justin Willard, Christopher Dong, Jason Marks, Jeremy Fisher, David Radke, Nick Quickstra, David Sellers, Jason Rodney, Michael Yanikowski, Miles Clark, Cindy Loom, Phil Schwartzel, Ann Reynolds, Eric Huffman, Adrian Dong,
Christopher Vincent, Nate Fazlintham, Sean Peck, Eric Zealander, Mike Smith, Trevor Davis, Wesley Traylor, Tim Vernig, Chris Lowe, Joe Hoover, Timothy Gross, Glenn Cotter, Jesse Wolkowiak, Barry Peterson, Ben Gary, Emil Jewel Jacobson, Marina Stevens, Brady Meltzer, Gregory Huber, Don Gilstrap, and Stephen Judd.
Until next week, keep playing games and having fun.
I don't like what you just typed here.
Kitty sings.
I am editing in your singing into
no.
this. Yep,
no, too late. It's so bad. No
you
one wants
can't
to hear
stop
it.
Me. No, everyone's going to hear it, and that's going to drive them all to listen to it on Patreon.
Oh, yeah. Way to ruin everything. No one's going to listen to it now.
Feels just like I'm walking on broken glass. No.
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 Oh, my God. You guys are terrible.
The song is a little like...
Walking on broken glass.